At the top of our program today, supporters of an effort to legalize recreational marijuana in Michigan are facing a legal roadblock. Yesterday, state election officials ruled that the group MI Legalize fell short of the required number of petition signatures to put the issue on the November ballot. The group says it collected far more signatures than was required, but the Michigan Bureau of Elections says some of those signatures are invalid because they were collected outside of a 180-day collection window. Joining me now in the studio to talk about these developments and how they affect his campaign is the executive director of MI Legalize, East Lansing attorney Jeff Hank. Jeff, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark.
Let's clarify one point at the outset here. You're not disputing that a bunch of the signatures on your petition were more than 180 days old, correct? You admit it took, you collected some of these signatures 11 months ago.
We've been collecting for 11 months. That's okay. Right. Since okay. Last June.
Your issue, I take it, is with the 180-day policy. Signatures on citizen petitions need to have been collected within 180 days of submitting the petition to the state, correct?
Well, they don't need to have been collected within 180 days. There's a different process for signatures that were collected more than 180 days old. Well, at least that was true until yesterday, until Governor Snyder signed SB 776.
Indeed. It went from being a policy up until yesterday to being law. Well, explain for us here, summarize what's wrong with what the 180-day policy. Let's start there.
Well, if you limit petitioning in Michigan to 180 days with the number of requirements we need to get on the ballot, it makes it impossible for anybody but moneyed interests to succeed. There have never been a grassroots group that wasn't well-funded that makes the ballot.
So what makes the difference?
Money. It's money in organization.
Money to pay for what?
To pay for signatures. So if you want to make the ballot in 180 days, and this is what everybody does, you have to hire professional signature gathering firms. So the way this was originally envisioned, and if you go back and read the Constitutional Convention notes from 1963, the idea of the initiative process was to check the legislature. It was meant to be a check and balance, a fundamental part of our government for the citizens to check the legislature, rarely used when the legislature wouldn't do something that the people wanted to do. So if you limit it to 180 days, you effectively take away that ability for your average citizens group to do that, and you make it a tool more of moneyed special interests, because that's the only kind of group or person that is going to be able to succeed in 180 days if it's strictly limited to that. So that's the problem.
They've got the resources. A grassroots organization like yours is apt not to have the resources.
That's exactly it. And it wasn't designed to be a tool to be used by people to basically buy ballot access. It's meant to be a citizen's tool for when the legislature's not listening.
There have been legislative hearings on extending the 180-day limit. At one of those hearings, John Pirich, a constitutional law expert, testified twice against extending the limit. Quote, this process was never meant to be easy. It's supposed to be a high bar. How is he wrong?
Well, no, I absolutely agree with him. It isn't easy. It is a very high bar right now, and that's what I think a lot of people don't understand. They just assume, 180 days, you should be able to get the signatures, but it doesn't work that way. You can look at how rare these things actually make it to the ballot and then how rare it is for them to actually qualify. There's an initiative that makes it to the ballot and actually succeeds at the ballot about once every 10 years. So, for example, our group, we started 15-member board. We came up with the idea we wanted to create good policy. We had no money to start with. Now, over 11-month period, we were able to raise over $1 million. But starting off with no money, we petitioned for a month last June with really no money, just all volunteers. So a lot of people who say that have never run an initiative, and they don't realize how hard it actually is to get the number of signatures. So, for example, I'm an attorney, as you mentioned. If I work a regular job and I want to go out and petition in the evening on the streets of East Lansing, I may get 20 or 30 signatures a night. Now, when you think that you actually need to get 350 or 375,000 to qualify, it all of a sudden becomes a very major effort to coordinate. And that's not done by people who are just haphazardly or lapsedaisically going out and getting 10 or 20 signatures at a time. So it takes money and resources and organization to do it if you're going to do it in a short time period.
Back to the 180-day limit. What should the time limit be?
Well, the time limit has always historically been at least between the gubernatorial elections. So just so people understand this, we've had the initiatory right in Michigan since 1908. In 1963, We enacted a new constitution in Michigan. You had up to 4 years minus 120 days to circulate petitions for a statutory initiative or a constitutional amendment. The two things are different. Constitutional amendments require slightly more signatures. So from 1963 to 1972, there was none of this rebuttable presumption. And what the rebuttable presumption, which was enacted in 1972, was meant to do was it creates a different standard for signatures that are more than 180 days old. And this is the reason the Bureau of Elections is denying us. From 1972 to 1986, the state of Michigan didn't even enforce the rebuttal presumption law because Attorney General Frank Kelly said it was unconstitutional. In 1986, they created a policy, the Board of Canvassers anyway, that said if you want a petition beyond 180 days, you have to do one of two things. You either have to get everyone who's already signed your petition to sign an affidavit, or you have to get local clerks, which there's at least 1,500 of them in Michigan, to certify everyone that signed the petition to show that they were registered to vote at the time they signed the petition, and also within 180 days of submission to the state. So the first option is practically impossible. We can't track down hundreds of thousands of people. Pretty much everyone has acknowledged that. The second, getting the local clerks to do it, is also very difficult. It's very laborious. And in fact, we attempted to do that, and we were told by several clerks that they wouldn't do it. We can't force a clerk to do this, and it's never been done. In the last 30 years, no one's ever tried to do this. So we suggested to the Bureau of Elections that this policy was unconstitutional because it was so unduly burdensome that it was impossible to comply with. No one has ever even tried to do it, and that there's another option available, and that is to use the state's qualified voter file. And the qualified voter file is a database maintained by the state, which if you are in the qualified voter file, you are registered to vote. And the state actually uses the qualified voter file to canvass petitions for the signatures that are less than 180 days old. So we made the argument, you know, use the qualified voter file to canvass the entire petition, which we used a public copy of the qualified voter file to sort of pre-canvass our own petition before turning in so we knew we had enough sufficient signatures.
And you'd use the qualified voter file to certify that the signatures you received more than 180 days ago are valid?
That's right.
Is that where you're going
with
this?
That's where we're going. And so what we did is we did that ahead of time, even though it was extraordinarily expensive and a lot of work to do. But the way it works is, you know, it's hard to do because even on the last day of turning in our petition, we were still getting petitions in from people who had been petitioning for more than 180 days. So if we got a petition on the last day turned into us, we didn't have time to go check that database. So this idea of rebuttal presumption should be an after-the-fact thing. If the state canvasses the petition and says, hey, this person signed, you know, 7 months ago, we should then have the opportunity to show, listen, they were still registered to vote, their signature still counts. For example, I signed last June. In fact, every member of our board of directors signed last June. So my signature isn't being counted. And this is a quirky thing that your listeners will probably understand. It's actually a crime in Michigan to sign a petition twice. So if I went and signed again and said it's a fresh signature, less than 180 days, I'd be committing a crime under Michigan law.
So the one's invalid, but if you do it a second time,
it's a crime. Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. And so this is why we asked to just clean up this policy, and the Board of Canvassers wouldn't do it. And now they're using this policy to deny a huge chunk of our signatures and claim that we have insufficient signatures, even though if they canvass them all, we have enough signatures.
Let's fast forward to your ideal outcome of this whole dispute. I mean, you've said the bar should be high. Would using the QVF the way that you've described it here, would that set the bar high enough here on citizen petitions?
Yeah, it really doesn't make any difference because you still have to go out and do all the work to get the signatures, which is an extraordinary amount of work.
Yeah. But did you allude earlier, are you saying that earlier people who wanted to launch a citizen's petition had 4 years to collect the signatures?
There is no time limit. Until yesterday, there was no time limit in Michigan law. But various attorney general opinions and even John Peerich himself in 1986 when they litigated these cases and all the top election attorneys that time agreed that you had at least the time period between gubernatorial elections. Article 2, Section 9 of the Michigan Constitution states that you have the period between those elections minus 160 days for initiatives minus 120 days for constitutional amendments. So that actually means you have 3 years, 7 months to circulate petitions for initiatory petitions. You have at least that long.
We're talking about yesterday's decision by the Michigan Bureau of Elections to deny the validity of a petition to legalize recreational marijuana on the November ballot. MI Legalize is seeking to put the issue on the ballot. The state claims the group gathered signatures outside the 180-day window. And we're talking about the future of that process here with attorney Jeff Hank, who is executive director of MI Legalize. Do you have an issue with the 252,000 signatures? Is that too high?
A lot of people think that it might be. I do agree. It should be. This is a rare process. It shouldn't be something that things are just constantly thrown on the ballot. It's a rare process used to check the legislature when they won't do what the people want. And this particular issue, cannabis law reform, is something that the majority of Michigan citizens support, but that the legislature won't act upon. So I don't think it's too high, but trying to get those signatures in 180 days is. And if you go back again and read the Constitutional Convention notes from 1963, they had a huge debate about this. And at that time, they were concerned that they mentioned specifically the Farm Bureau, school groups, and labor groups would dominate the process and your average citizen wouldn't be able to. Now, it's some of those same groups that today are the ones that typically succeed in this, but it's also, you know, billionaires like Dick DeVos that typically finance these things. So if it's going to be the 8% of voters, which is what you do for a constitutional amendment, or 5% for statutory initiatives that you have to get.
That's 5%. That's where the 252,000 comes
that's
from.
That's right. Okay. And, in order to do that in 180 days, this is just extraordinarily difficult.
Yesterday, the same day that it was recommended that your petition not be approved, Governor Snyder signed the 180-day window into law. It was a policy. Now it's a law. What do you take from that development?
Very disappointing. There were several Republicans that defected from this vote in the state legislature. And, the state legislature put this into immediate effect despite not having the votes to place this law into immediate effect. This was not enacted by the House of Representatives with immediate effect, yet that's what's being done. So Governor Snyder had an opportunity to veto this. This is part of a trend. We've seen in the past few years the time period shortened to recall elected officials. We see how the legislature tacks on appropriations so things can't be subject to a referendum. We saw the gag order on municipalities that was recently declared unconstitutional, the elimination of straight ticket voting. Well, this was the last sort of people's check, the power that hadn't been touched by the legislature. And as a result of us trying to clean up the process, and this is an interesting note, Mark, what we suggested by using the QVF, the state doesn't check every signature. So they sample 500 or 1,000 signatures out of our entire batch. That's how they do it. When we suggested use the QVF, that would mean that the state should check every single signature, which would eliminate election fraud. And they refused to do that.
So it'd be a more thorough process.
So we actually tried to improve Michigan election law, and the result was that was totally ignored. And instead, the citizens' ability to engage in this process has been foreclosed. We still have the right on paper, but it's going to be an illusory thing if you can't actually exercise that right.
Some number of our listeners are going to probably conclude this is a real partisan thing. Some of your comments so far this morning have suggested this may be less a partisan issue than we might think.
It's not partisan at all. It broke down somewhat along party lines, but this affects everyone. So if people are upset about redistricting or Flynn or some other issue that they'd want to push in Michigan, it affects all citizens' rights to have ballot access. So right now it might be Republican-Democrat issue, but 5 years from now it won't be. And in the past it hasn't been. You could have conservative groups pushing initiatives, liberal groups, whatever. So it affects everybody. It's really not a partisan issue. It's about our rights as Michigan voters to have our voice heard in government. And that's being foreclosed, and I think that's a bad thing.
You've threatened legal action if this happened. It's happened. What are your plans?
Well, the Board of Canvassers will act tomorrow. We're still waiting to hear.
Yesterday was a recommendation. We'll make that clear.
Staff report.
The formal decision comes tomorrow.
Yes, it does. And it's still unclear whether the Bureau of Elections is going to now retroactively apply a hard 180-day limit. So we turned our submissions in under an old statutory regime. We shouldn't be subject to a strict 180 days. However, they may or may not try to apply that going forward here. So after we see what happens tomorrow, I expect we'll be filing a lawsuit fairly shortly to get some of these issues resolved.
What's the future of marijuana legalization in Michigan? Now, don't tell us what you want. Tell us what you think objectively. What is the future of this?
I think it's coming. I mean, people realize that the public opinion polls are there. Every few months out of Colorado, the news gets better and better. The public supports it there more. People who are opposed to it are starting to support it. People are getting refund checks back. They're putting the money into schools. We're going to see 6 to 8 states here in November, which Michigan could be one, probably do this. So the trend is headed that way. That's what public opinion is. And we try to get ahead of the curve here and take advantage of this so Michigan could realize some of the economic benefits. And I think you're going to find that in an era where revenue is harder and harder to find, this is sort of the last of the easy money out there to get to fund things like roads and schools, and that at some point politicians will do it if we don't succeed this year.
We are talking about the decision by the Michigan Bureau of Elections. This is yesterday to deny the validity of a petition to legalize recreational marijuana. I've been talking about the status of this with one of the proponents of marijuana legalization. Jeff Hank is an attorney and the executive director of MI Legalize. We'll keep an eye on it. Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.